Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your love and compassions. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the things you have done in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the things you're doing at the moment. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your help that we have received. Thank you for breakthroughs you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, for making difficult things easy in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for glorifying your name in our lives and situations. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for moving us forward on every side. Thank you for your strength that is working in us, destroying our weaknesses. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the miracles and testimonies you have given to us. Thank you for destroying the works of darkness that were formed against us. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the deliverances you have given to us from the powers of darkness and from prisons of darkness. Thank you, Father. We also thank you for healing our sicknesses and for taking away our diseases. Thank you, faithful Lord. We are here in your presence this morning to seek your face, to learn, and to pray. O Lord, minister to our hearts and souls and bodies in Jesus' name. Let your will prevail in our lives in Jesus' name. Let your power touch everyone right here and those that will still join. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you're going to do great and mighty things in our lives. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. And I welcome everyone of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to look at the scriptures briefly before we go into prayers. And I want us to read from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read some verses there. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. Romans chapter 8 from verse 1 to 10. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned in the flesh. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. yeah, you can see from that passage, you can see from that from that passage, a lot of comparison was done between the flesh and the spirit. A lot of comparison between the flesh and the spirit. And following the flesh means going against the spirit. I want us to read some of the verses again. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 10. Now, if you look at verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, you might be asking what the law of sin and death actually mean. Like, what is the law of sin and death? And what is the law of the spirit of life? Yeah, Apostle Paul discovered in his personal walk with God, he discovered that the Old Testament commandments and instructions and regulations were laws of sin and death. Now, he discovered that the law itself was not to save the people from sin and death. That is, the law had no power to save the people from sin and death, because if you look at details of the law in the Old Testament, you're going to see that it's all about don't sin, and if you sin, you will be put to death. Yeah, the law was about sin and death. Yeah, so the law, the commandments will say, do not sin. And if you commit certain sin, you shall be put to death. Yeah, so Apostle Paul found out that these laws, or those laws, were not actually saving the people from sin. Yeah, the laws were actually, number one, exposing sin that is already inside people. Yeah, the law was exposing sin that is already inside people. That is the nature of sin. I have said before that sin is beyond what you do. Yeah, though what you do is also sin. I mean, if you do what is wrong in the sight of God, if you do what is contrary to the will of God, is sin. But sin is beyond that. Is beyond doing. Yeah. Sin also has a lot to do with being, your state of being. It has to do with your nature, your human nature, your Adamic nature. And to me, that is the real sin. Yeah. The other sin that manifests, that manifests in your mind and in your actions, to me, they are just branches. You know, just like you can have a tree with a root and then with branches and leaves and fruits. Yeah, so I see the other sins. I see the sins that manifest through your thoughts, imaginations, and actions as the branches and leaves and fruits coming from the root. Yeah, and that root is the second category of sin. The second category of sin, that root is the sinful nature that you were born with on the day you were born into this world. And to me, that is the real sin. Yeah, if that can be dealt with, the others will not exist. The others will not be able to manifest. If the nature of sin is dealt with, is destroyed, is dead, is uprooted, then all the outward manifestations of sin and all the ones that manifest also in the mind, in the thoughts, in the emotions, in the feelings, in your actions, in your behaviors, they will also die. Yeah, so what fuels sin or the manifestation of sin is the root of sin. Yeah. The root of sin, which is inside every human being. In fact, it's our body. That root is your body, it's your soul, it's your spirit. So every part of you forms that root of sin. So what God does at salvation, what God does at salvation is to rescue you from that power. To rescue you from the power and the dominion of this sinful nature that every man came with into this world. So that is the essence of salvation. To deliver us from sin, this particular category of sin, yeah, that I said has to do with our nature, our human nature. Yeah. Salvation means deliverance from that nature that is making us to sin. Yeah, the nature we got from Adam that is making us to sin. So salvation means deliverance from that nature. That is salvation. But many Christians today are not delivered from this nature. Yeah, they are not delivered from this nature, and they claim that they are already saved. They claim that they are born again. But this law of sin and death is still working in them. Yeah, this law of sin and death is still at work inside of them. Yeah, so the message that God is giving to you from this passage we read in Romans chapter 8 is that you should desire freedom from the flesh, freedom from the law of sin and death. You should allow the law of the Spirit of life to deliver you from the law of sin and death. Yeah, I said it earlier that all the commandments in the Old Testament does not have the power to save the people from sin. Yeah, because the real sin is not is not what they do with their bodies, maybe when they commit fornication, commit adultery, bow down to idols, worship Satan, worship other gods. Yeah, the real sin was not those things. They thought that was the real sin. Yeah, they thought it was, coveting your neighbor's properties. Yeah, you know, all those do's and don'ts in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not kill. Yeah, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. So they thought that was the real thing. So some of them felt, there's no big deal in this. Is it not to not commit adultery? Is it not to not steal? To not kill? Yeah, so some of them, they thought of, there's no big deal in this. We are able to do this. Yeah, but they could not even do those simple instructions. Yeah, if you read your whole testament, you will see how they kept on falling into sin. God would deal with them, and after the space of some time, they will return back into the same sin. Yeah, even after being judged by God, because what God would usually do is God would hand them over to their enemies, to be tormented, to be afflicted, to be enslaved, to be oppressed by their enemies whenever they sin. Yeah, and even after they repented and cried unto God, and God stepped into their situations and rescued them from their enemies, you still see them go back into committing the same sins that made God to punish them in the first place. Now, that shows that the law did not come with power to save the people from their sins. Yeah. So what the law was doing to them was to expose the sin that is already in them, was to expose the nature of sin that is already in them, to expose it and to regulate it. That was what the law was doing, to expose that inside of them there is tendency to steal, to expose that inside of them there is tendency to take another person's wife, to expose that inside of them there is tendency to kill. Yeah, so that was what the law was exposing. And then the law was regulating that you must not do all these things that you feel like doing, because if you do that, you will die and God will be angry. Yeah, so the law wasn't actually saving them from sin. The law was just exposing the darkness that has been in them from their mother's womb. And the law was regulating that darkness. Yeah, was, putting restrictions on the flow of that darkness that is in them. You must not do this, even though you feel like doing it. Yeah. And you might be asking that if the law was not going to save them from sin, then why did God give them the law? And why did God expect that they obeyed the law? Since He knew that the law doesn't have the power to save them from sin, then why did God give them the law and even tell them to obey and even give punishment for disobeying the law? Yeah, the answer is simple. Yeah, it shows that God wanted them to look up to Him for salvation and not to the law. Yeah, because if you read many other verses in the Old Testament, you will see God telling them that He is going to circumcise their heart. Yeah. You will see God telling them He's going to circumcise their heart so that they would be able to please Him. So God expected that they would look to Him for salvation. Yeah, but they did not. And the reason is because they are deep down in their heart, they do not love the Lord, because God also commanded them to love Him with the whole of their hearts. Yeah, but deep down in their hearts, they do not love the Lord. They do not love the Lord. And because of that, they do not seek to be saved from their sins. Yeah, they do not seek salvation. Yeah, because in the Old Testament days, there were people who pleased God. Yeah, there were saints in the Old Testament days to show you that there were people who were helped by God to live a righteous life. Yeah, though their righteousness might not be as strong as our own in this New Testament, but they lived righteously. Yeah, and their righteousness was acceptable in the sight of God. Yeah, our own righteousness is superior to their own. Yeah, our own righteousness in the New Testament. Yeah, but even the ones they had at that time, God honored it, and God accepted their righteousness, and God called them saints. People like Daniel, people like Abraham, people like Enoch, Elijah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. Yeah, God identified with their righteousness. Yeah, even people like Job, people like Noah. Yeah, God identified with their righteousness. Yeah, because they loved Him with their hearts, and God helped them to live righteously in His sight. Yeah. So today, God wants to do something in us that He couldn't even do in the Old Testament. Yeah. He wants to do something in us. Yeah, whatever God did to those people in the Old Testament is not like what He wants to do to us. We the partakers of grace in the New Testament. Yeah. Do He help them then to live righteously, but the perfection those people had wasn't like what we are to have. Yeah, we are to have something better than what they had. Yeah, and that was what made Jesus said, Jesus made a statement. He said, of all the prophets in the Old Testament, that none of them was greater than John the Baptist. Yeah, he said John the Baptist was the greatest of all the prophets in the Old Testament. Yeah. And then he said further that that the least of the believers in the New Testament is greater than John the Baptist. Yeah, that the least, that is maybe someone that got converted today, someone that just got born again today, that person is greater than John the Baptist and all the prophets in the Old Testament. Yeah, why did Jesus make that statement? He made that statement to show that what we get in this New Testament is far higher than what anyone in the Old Testament got. And then I began to ask myself that if the present generation of human beings are still finding it difficult to meet up with the righteousness of the people in the Old Testament. Yeah, if we are still finding it difficult to live the way men like Daniel lived, Moses, and those saints in the Old Testament, then how can we live the life that we are supposed to live in this New Testament? Yeah, in this New Testament dispensation, if we have not even met with the standard of the Old Testament people, yeah, how can we now meet the standard that was meant for New Testament people? Yeah. So what God is doing in us in this dispensation is greater than what he did in those people then. Yeah, so what exactly does he want to do in you if you allow him? Let us look at it again. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 and verse 3. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Yeah, so there is a law of the Spirit of life, and there is a law of sin and death. There is a law of the Spirit of life, and there is a law of sin and death. Yeah, all the commandments, though they came from God, all the commandments in the Old Testament, though they came from God, but they could not save the people from their sins. And in so doing, they became law of sin and death. Yeah, that is, they just come to expose the sin that is in people and then to enforce judgment, which is death, in as much as the people violate. I mean, whenever anyone violates those laws, they die. They die both spiritually and physically. Yeah, but the law of the Spirit of life was revealed through Jesus Christ. Now, what is the difference between the law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death? And the difference is that the law of the Spirit of life leads people to life. Yeah, it works in people and then leads them to life. Whereas the law of sin and death is also working in people and then leads them to death. Yeah, so this law is this law of the Spirit of life is working in us, and then it's leading us into life. Whereas the law of sin and death is leading us into death. Why? Because it is weak to give life. It is too weak to give life. So therefore, it leads, or it led many into death. Even though the intention of the law in the, that came from the Old Testament was to lead the people to life, but the law itself was weak to do that. So it ended up becoming the law of sin and death. Yeah, God didn't give that law, you know, so that the people would perish. He gave them the law so that they can live. Yeah, but the law was weak in their bodies, in their flesh, to lead them to life. So the law that was supposed to lead them to life became law of sin and death. But today there is a new law that comes from Jesus, which is the law of the Spirit of life. And this law is not weak. This law has the power to give us life. Yeah, and that is what you're going to see in that verse 3 and verse 4 as well. Yeah, in that verse 3, Romans chapter 8, it says, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Yeah, so this new law has power, but the former law lacks power. So that's just the main difference. Yeah, and that was the main difference. This new law comes with power, but the former law lacks power. Yeah, it's only full of all kinds of instructions. Yeah, but lacks power. But the new law that Jesus has given to us, the new commandment, comes with power. I pray for you that the power in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ shall produce results in your life in Jesus' name. So this new law comes with power. And this is how that power came into being. It says, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So God had to send Jesus to also put on this same body that we have, this same human nature, this same Adamic nature. So God sent Jesus to put on the same nature. Yeah. And God condemned Jesus to death. Yeah, in order to put that nature to death once and for all. Yeah, so because even while Jesus was putting on the human nature, Jesus did not live according to the dictate of the human nature of the sinful nature. Jesus was not living according to the control of the sinful nature. Yeah, because he is righteousness personified. He is holiness personified. He is pure. And there is no sin in him. He is naturally blameless. So, so the sinful nature could not have power over him. Yeah, all through his life on earth, from childhood to when he was crucified. Yeah, the sinful nature could not control him. Yeah, so and then God eventually condemned Jesus to death. Yeah, not because he sinned, but because God wanted to create that power that will also deliver you and I from this sinful nature. So God wanted to create that power. That was why God condemned him to sin, to death. In fact, the Bible says he became sin. One who is without sin was turned into sin. So God condemned him to death, just the way he would condemn a sinner to death. Yeah, and he allowed them to crucify him so that the holiness of Jesus and in the process destroy that sinful nature. Yeah. So God condemned him to death so that flesh can be dealt with once and for all. This Adamic nature of, that is in every human being. Yeah. So the moment Jesus died, that nature died too. Yeah. That nature died. Yeah, because the Son of God is not actually worthy of death. Yeah, life cannot die. and Jesus is life. Yeah, but he was allowed to die because he was going to kill something on that cross. So normally Jesus is not someone that dies. How can life die? So Jesus was not supposed to die because he's naturally immortal. Yeah, he's not supposed to die because he is life himself. He said he is resurrection, he is life. Yeah, he wasn't supposed to die at all. Yeah, but he had to die because he was going to destroy something on the cross. So that death was planned by God for the destruction of this flesh, this Adamic nature. Yeah, so it was a death that was arranged from heaven. And that was the main purpose for his coming to the earth. So that nature of sin that every human being was born with will be dealt with on the cross. Yeah. So Jesus' death led to the death of this Adamic nature. Yeah, and that was what verse 3 meant by saying that for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So God condemned sin in the flesh of Jesus. God condemned that nature in the flesh of Jesus and let him die on the cross. So at that moment he died. Sin died. The nature of sin died. The power of sin died. Yeah. And then when he was buried, the death was sealed when he was buried, was finalized. The death and destruction of the Adamic nature was sealed and finalized. Yeah, and when he rose from the grave, then a new life, the door, or maybe I should say the door to a new life, the door to becoming born again, to becoming a new creature, was opened for everybody on earth. The door to enjoy all the benefits in God's kingdom was opened. The door to enjoy health, good health, perfect health, was opened. The door to enjoy complete dominion over sin, over Satan, over demons, over all the kingdoms of darkness was opened. The door to enter into God's glory, to function in God's glory, was opened, so that there was endless possibilities for us. At that moment, he resurrected from the grave. And even up to now, the endless possibilities abound. Yeah, so his resurrection opened a door for us to enjoy a lot, which many people today are not even enjoying. Yeah, because they are still living the way those people in the Old Testament were living, those people that were under the bondage of the law of sin and death. Yeah, so many Christians today, they are not better than the people that hated God in the Old Testament and were destroyed by God. In fact, there are Christians today that are worse than those people. Yeah, so the essence of this teaching is to show you that God wants a better life for you. And He has made all the provisions for you to live that better life. And whatever you desire, whatever good thing you desire, is in that better life. Yeah, that better life that comes from the law of the Spirit of life. Yeah, the law that is able to empower you to please God. It will not just tell you to please God. It will empower you to please God. Yeah, because that law is coming from someone that have conquered the power of sin. So someone that have conquered the nature of sin. Yeah, so that law is coming from Jesus Christ. Yeah, if only you will embrace this law. Yeah, this law that is now given to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah, if only you will embrace this law, then you will have life and you will be able to please God. Now, you might be asking, how do we embrace the law of the Spirit of life? Yeah, we're going to see that in verse 4, Romans chapter 8, verse 4, and it's also in verse 1. Yeah, let me read that verse 4. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In that verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you can see, it is by walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yeah, so that is how you embrace the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. By not walking after the flesh, by not walking after the flesh, praise the Lord. Yeah, so this has not to do with genuine repentance and self-denial. It has a lot to do with denying your flesh. It has a lot to do with refusing to yield to the flesh. Yeah. Because the moment you do that, the Spirit would appear to help you. Yeah, so this did not happen in the Old Testament. Yeah, the highest helps they got from God, all that. God helped them to obey His laws. Yeah, God just helped them to obey His laws, especially those ones that God saw that they really have the heart for Him. Yeah, that they really love Him. So He just helped them to obey His laws, to, you know, to the best way they could. Yeah, so they were just managing the flesh. They were not able to conquer the flesh. They were just managing it. Yeah, the difference between managing something and conquering that thing. Yeah, so a lot of aspect of their flesh was still there, was still in control. But the ones that that God really needed to help them subdue, God did help them subdue that part. But the other aspect of their flesh was there and was still in control. Yeah, or over them. Yeah, but today there is a provision to destroy all of the flesh, all of the power and nature of sin that is in us. Yeah, there is provision. And if you can resist your flesh 100%, you're going to encounter the power of Jesus that will save you from that flesh, that will destroy that flesh completely. You're going to encounter that power 100%. Yeah, so this is it. The more of your flesh you are willing to resist and deny, the more of God's power, according to this law, this new law, the more of God's power that will appear also in your life to subdue that flesh under your feet forever. Yeah, so if you only want to die to maybe 60% of the flesh, the power of Jesus that you will get to subdue the flesh will also be 60%. If you are willing to die to the flesh 90%, and you still want to keep some aspect of your flesh alive to be in charge over your life, the power and the grace you receive over that flesh will also be 90%. Yeah, and that is why you will see some Christians that have been doing well for some time suddenly fall back. After many years, they have been doing well, they have been pleasing the Lord. Yeah, and then suddenly you hear that they did something terrible, and some, they fell and never rose again. Yeah, that shows that when they were denying the flesh, they left some part of the flesh alive. They did not kill that part. Yeah, so the part of your flesh that you have refused to deny, that you have chosen to spare and to keep alive, the Holy Spirit will not help you to kill that part. The Holy Spirit will leave that part there, the way you want it. Yeah, so that is how this law operates, the law of the Spirit of life. So it's about how much you have chosen to not walk after the flesh. Yeah, the more of the flesh you have embraced, yeah, the more of the Spirit you have rejected. Yeah, but the more of your flesh you have rejected and denied, the more of the Spirit you have embraced. Yeah, so that is how this new law operates. So this new law really have the power to change you from the inside to the outside and make you the kind of person you were meant to be. Yeah, but Jesus is not going to force any man. Yeah, he's not going to force any man to obey him. And that is why you have to be deliberate. Now, I mean, you have to be deliberate about walking in life, about receiving this life that Jesus wants for you and her. Now, if you read verse 6, Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So, this man of God, Apostle Paul, was able to figure it out. Yeah, that the people in the Old Testament were being stoned to death because they have already died. Yeah, Apostle Paul was able to figure it out. That all those punishments that would say, whoever does this should be put to death, should be stoned to death. He figured it out that they were stoning those people to death. They were stoning them to death because they had already died. Yeah, because they had died spiritually. Yeah, and because there was no provision to revive them as there is today. There was no provision to revive them. So what God wants at that time was that they kill them physically as well. I don't know if you are getting my point. Yeah, because there was no provision to revive them as there is provision now to revive anybody that that have gone into sin and is now dead spiritually, irrespective of the kind of sin you have gone into. If you are willing to repent and turn back and start to walk in against the flesh, yeah, there's provision today in Christ Jesus to bring you back to life and to bring you back to God. But there was There was no provision like that in those days. So once you are spiritually dead to the point that you now commit those sins physically. Yeah, because if you have not committed a physical sin at that time, they will not be able to stone you to death. Yeah. So those people that were committing the physical sins that deserve to be stoned to death have already died spiritually. Yeah. So it was, you know, it was when they have gotten so deep in the spiritual death that they now manifested the sin physically. Yeah. Yeah. And that was when, you know, they were now being stoned to death. Yeah. So, Apostle Paul was able to discover that. People died, or people die every time they yield to their flesh. They die spiritually every time they yield to their flesh. Yeah. And also that spiritual death eventually will lead to physical death. Yeah, as it does in those days. Though some of them were not stoned to death, but eventually God's judgment caught up with them, and they still died physically. Yeah. So even today, the same thing is still happening. Yeah. People are dead spiritually. And people are dying spiritually, and which also results to physical death. Yeah, the main thing that brings sicknesses is this death, spiritual death. Is what makes us to be weak. It is what makes us to fall sick. And it is what makes us to die untimely before the time that God wants us to die. Is this spiritual death, this finality, that is the root of sicknesses and diseases. So if you are a Christian that avoids this type of death so much, you will hardly think. Yeah. If a Christian that, you know, that is not carnal, yeah, that is always spiritual, you will hardly fall sick. Yeah, because when you are alive spiritually, it will manifest eventually in your body. And then when you are dead spiritually, it will also manifest eventually in your body. Yeah, so Christians that really pursue after genuine spirituality, which is purity in the mind, I mean, purity first in your mind and then in your attitude, in your character, in your lifestyle. Such people enjoy good health. Yeah. Yeah, because this death that you are seeing in this Romans chapter 8 verse 6 is not just spiritual death alone. It is both spiritual and physical death. Only that the physical part might not happen immediately or instantly. Yeah, but the physical part is happening gradually. So every time someone dies spiritually, they die physically too, only that the physical part might be slow. Yeah, might be slow in progression. Yeah. I pray that the Lord help you in Jesus' name. Yeah. So this morning, God is showing you two different laws. The law of the spirit of life and the law of sin and death. Yeah. And the first one comes from the spirit of life himself, Jesus. And the second one comes from death, comes from sin, comes from death. Yeah, so you can better understand what Apostle Paul meant by law of spirit of life and law of sin and death, is if you see those law as forces, like a force, then you see it as some instructions. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. Yeah, if you see it as a force that is pulling people towards sin, so you can see it as a force. You better understand it. So it's not just a law. It's not just a law that does do it, some prescriptions, some instructions, yeah, some statements. It is a force, a spiritual force. Yeah, it's a force that is pulling people to hell, pulling people to death. So it's more like saying there's a force coming from under the ground, or a force coming from one very big pit, and then that force is pulling everything downward into death, into destruction. Yeah, if you see it as that, you better understand what I've been talking about. So this law is also like a force, a power that is pulling human beings towards sin, towards deep darkness, towards death. And this force is working inside your flesh, inside you. Yeah, inside of you. So it keeps pulling you. Now, if you read Galatians chapter 5, you understand also where the same Apostle Paul was describing that the flesh and the spirit, they are enemies of one another. Yeah. That the flesh is telling you to do something, and whereas the spirit is telling you to do opposite of what the flesh is telling you to do. So two forces fighting themselves. Yeah, and then he went further to say that when you walk in the spirit, that is when you follow the force of the spirit, when you allow the force of the spirit to pull you, and you disallow or you reject the force of the flesh to pull you, or you refuse to be pulled, to be pulled by the force of the flesh. Hey, Apostle Paul said that is when you will be able to overcome the flesh. by yielding to the force of the Spirit that is also pulling you. So the force of the flesh is pulling you, and the force of the Spirit is also pulling you. Yeah, also pulling you. So, and you have to make a choice which one you will yield to. Yeah. So that is another way to look at these two laws. So that force has been there since the time Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. This force of sin and death, this law of sin and death, has been activated since that time. So the commandment God gave Moses was just to show us how this law of sin and death operates, and how the people should not yield to that law of sin and death. So that law, actually, the law that came through Moses, was specifically targeted at this force of sin and death, this flesh. Yeah, but the people could not, as I said earlier, they could not obey those laws that came from Moses. Yeah, because the law that came from Moses did not carry the power to actually give them right, give them dominion over the flesh. So the law that came from Moses was just exposing the flesh and telling them to avoid all that comes from the flesh. But it doesn't carry the power to set them free from sin completely. Yeah. So, but today, the law of the Spirit of life has that power. Only if men will believe and repent and surrender to this Spirit of life and surrender to that, to this Spirit that is pulling you towards righteousness. Yeah, only if people can yield to the Spirit of life. Yeah, so that is what the Lord is saying to you this morning. They're always working in every man. Yeah, even in unbelievers. Yeah. And the law of the Spirit of life is calling you to the place of repentance, to the place of total surrenderness to Jesus, and also to the place of faith. Yeah, because you will have to believe for the Spirit of life to give you the victory that is already yours. Yeah, so it's left for you to choose. And as I said before, if you choose life, every area of your life will be transformed. Yeah, before I used to think that there's another type of faith that we need to have to get other blessings from Jesus. So I used to think that the faith that we use to get salvation is different from the other faith that we need to use, you know, that we need to get other benefits from heaven, like healing, deliverance, prosperity, you know, many other benefits from God. Yeah, victory, solution to problems, and all of that. So I used to think one has to have another special faith, another different faith to have the other benefit that comes from heaven for Christians. Yeah. But I thank God for correcting me and for showing me that it's the same faith that we use to get salvation. Yeah, which is what I'm talking about right now. What I've been saying is salvation. It's all about salvation. And that is the same faith also we use to get every other benefit. Because all other benefits, they are inside the same faith. Yeah, so maybe your problem is not that some witches and wizards are stronger than you. Maybe your problem is not that some ancestral curse or ancestral covenant of darkness are stronger than you. Maybe your problem is that you have not really worked out your salvation as you should. With the Lord. Yeah, maybe the problem of some of you here is not what you are thinking. I mean, it's not coming from where you are thinking they are coming from. Maybe your problem is in the fact that you have not really worked out your salvation. That is, your salvation is not yet genuine. Yeah, because once your salvation is genuine, it will not be hard to get the other benefits that comes from Jesus for us. Yeah, it will not be hard because it is the same faith. It is the same victory. The same victory over sin is the same victory over witches and wizards. It is the same victory over sicknesses and diseases. It is the same victory over principalities and powers. It is the same victory over poverty and scarcity. Yeah, it is the same victory. It is the same faith. Yeah. The same victory over Spain is the same victory over diseases, over Satan. Yeah. And if your victory over sin is not genuine, which is what I mean by your salvation. Yeah, because salvation has to do with sin. Yeah, if you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, yeah, the angel told Mary, the angel said, you shall give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So salvation is all about sin. He shall save his people from their sin. That is, from this our sinful nature, from the flesh, from what is making us to sin. That is the real sin. What is making people to sin is the real sin. Now, I'm not saying that wrong actions is not sin as well. They are sin, but they are just like branches of the real sin. When you do wrong actions, it's also sin. Yeah, but they are just like branches of the real sin. Fruits of the real sin. The real sin is the flesh, is what is making you to sin. That is the real sin. So salvation is deliverance from that real sin. So if that deliverance from the real sin, from the sinful nature, is not yet sure in your life, many other things will not be sure. Your healing will not be sure. Your deliverance from demons and cursings and covenants will also not be sure. Yeah, because they are all connected. I pray that you will get it right once and for all. Yeah, all I've been doing is just to try to make sure you understand everything. Yeah, we don't have much time, so we're going to pray now. I want you to talk to the Lord that you have heard about the law of sin and death and the law of the spirit of life. You're going to pray, you're going to say, Father, help me to reject the law of sin and death and to embrace the law of spirit, the law of the spirit of life. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Yeah, begin to pray. Begin to say, Father, help me to reject the law of sin and death. Help me to reject of sin and death. That's another way of saying it. The force that is pulling me to sin. The force that is pulling me into carnality. Say, Father, help me to reject that force. Help me to reject that force. Help me to reject temptations to become carnal. Yeah, no one just become carnal. You have to choose to be carnal. No one just dies spiritually. You have to choose to die spiritually. Because even your conscience does not want you to die spiritually. So, Father, help me to reject the law of sin and death. And help me to embrace the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, you are saying, help me to reject the control of my flesh and help me to embrace the control of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Continue to pray like that. Say, help me, Father, to surrender to the control of your spirit and to reject the control of sin and death in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Yeah, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does to every Christian from the day you become saved, from the day you become born again, yeah, is that the Holy Spirit will ensure that you know the difference, or that you find the difference between the flesh and the spirit, between the realm of the flesh and the realm of the spirit. The Holy Spirit will make sure that you find the difference, that you know the difference. Yeah, because whenever you are following the flesh, the spirit will continue to cause trouble in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. Yeah, the spirit will continue to react in your spirit, in your soul, and in your soul, and in your mind. The spirit will begin to react, you know, confirming that you are thinking the wrong thing, and that you are embracing the wrong thing. Yeah, but some Christians, they have become so dead spiritually that the Holy Spirit cannot do that in them again. That reaction of the spirit that comes up when you are embracing the realm of the flesh, that reaction that comes up from the Holy Spirit in your soul, in your mind, you know, telling you that what you are thinking right now is wrong, what you are saying is wrong, or you should not say what you are saying. What you are doing is wrong. You should not do what you are doing. Some Christians have already lost that. I hope you have not lost that. Yeah. It's a normal thing that the Spirit does. I hope that still happens in your life. If that no longer happens in your life, then your case is very worse. Yeah, your case is worse, and you really need help. Yeah, if you no longer feel that restriction and pull from the Holy Spirit when you are nearing sin, when you are getting close to sin, or when you are embracing sin, or when you are entering to the flesh and yielding to the flesh, if you no longer feel that restriction and pull, more like a pull back from the spirit, then you are gone and you are lost and you need help, because that is a very worse situation. So you are going to pray. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, do not allow me to be captured and controlled by the realm of the flesh. Do not allow me. Always pull me back. Even when I seem to, even when I seem to be arrogant, the Holy Spirit pull me back. Open your mouth and pray like that. The Holy Spirit, do not allow me to be captured, to be trapped, to be controlled by the realm of the flesh, by the realm of sin. Make sure you pull me back. Even when I begin to have interest and passion for the flesh, for the things of the flesh, Holy Spirit, use your force to pull me back. Forcefully pull me back. Continue to pray like that. Yeah, tell him that even when I seem to be very much interested in what the flesh is pulling me to do, Holy Spirit, pull me back with force unto yourself. In the name of Jesus, don't allow me to get lost forever. Don't allow me to get lost into sin, into death. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. The last prayer point. You know, I said it earlier that it is the same thing through which we get salvation, is the same faith through which we get healing and deliverances and breakthroughs and prosperity. Is the same faith through which you get salvation, is the same faith you will get healing from whatever disease you have, whatever name they call it. Yeah, it is through the same faith. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, let the power through which you give salvation manifest in my life to give me all the other benefits of salvation. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, use the same power that gives salvation to give me the other benefits that are in your kingdom. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. The heshes beg that touch the wala. Continue to pray like that. Say, Lord Jesus, manifest your power in my life, even the same power that gave me salvation. manifest that power in my life to give me all the benefits that are in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Continue to pray like that. Say, Lord Jesus, manifest your power now. Just the way you give me salvation through your power, through your spirit of life, give me also all the benefits by the same spirit of life. Give me other benefits. Give me healing. Give me deliverance by the same spirit of life, by the same power. In the name of Jesus, give me breakthroughs, give me prosperity by the same spirit of life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I'm going to pray for you now. And I will also pray your water. Father, we worship and bless your name. We adore you for all that you have done for us. The greatest the greatest blessing you have ever given and you have ever done is that you gave us Jesus and you made him die and you brought him out of the grave. We cannot thank you enough for that. For that is the greatest blessing of all time you will ever give mankind. For that is the source of all blessings we will ever receive from you. We say be praised forever in Jesus' name. Father, you have shown us two laws that is working in this earth, working in our bodies and souls and spirits. Two laws, two forces. Oh Lord, I ask that you help everyone here to choose life. In the name of Jesus, help everyone here to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. In the name of Jesus, help everyone here, oh God, to reject the law of sin and death and embrace the law of the spirit of life. In the name of Jesus, I ask, O Lord, that you revive anyone here that is already spiritually dead. O Lord, show mercy on such people right now and revive them now in the name of Jesus. Let fire of revival manifest in you right now in the name of Jesus. I pray on your water that the anointing of the Holy Ghost flow into this water right now to provide deliverance in your life, to provide healing in your life, and to provide transformation in your life. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. The life of God shall manifest through this water and shall take away your sicknesses and weaknesses and diseases, and also take away every debt in you, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.